maybe, that you can take it out and use it, hopefully, according to God's will and according to his loving kindness and according to his blessings. But before we get started, we always stop to say, ask you to say a solemn prayer for yourself and for me as well. As I go through these lessons that I have and go through these scriptures. So let us all be prayerful. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we come to you, O Heavenly Father, as humbly as we possibly can, O Heavenly Father. Father, I ask that you just move me out of the way and that you be in the presence of everyone that is here today. Let the meditation of my heart and let thy word be acceptable in thy sight. My God, my Redeemer, my Lord of all. Amen. Tonight's scripture is going to come from Luke chapter 4. And we're going to start at that very first verse. And if I can get my computer to crank up, it's always slow. But we always have the old reliable, the sword, the paper, the print, and everything to go by, just in case that doesn't happen. And tonight, I'm just going to be perfectly and brutally honest with you. Everything that I have learned about this particular passage in Scripture about Jesus Christ's temptation, all the information that I have learned, it is very enlightening. And I'm just going to say, sometimes you have to find something that better fits you, that where you can understand it. But all of it is concrete. All of it is solid. Some of the writers, they have written some of the interpretation of Christ, because we all know that Scripture is all God-breathed and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And tonight we're going to be dealing with slightly with the Holy Spirit as well, because we're going to find out that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. And I know for a fact with this congregation and this church, you can't put anything over on you, I'll tell you that. I don't care what anybody says. I'm being brutally honest with you. I'm just telling you. So no false prophet or shepherd should be able to come in and take you out of the midst of this lampstand. Again, scripture will come from Luke chapter 4. And I don't know why I'm just flipping these pages as one by one when I have a bookmark in it. Okay. I said the prayer. I gave God all the glory, honor, and praise in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be bread. And Jesus answered him and said, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that the delivered, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy worship serve. Verse 9, And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, now this is Satan talking, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy feet against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and look at his answer, because that's kind of key. It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we're going to go on down to verse 13, that should be it. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. He departed from him for a season. And for a topic, I think I have already placed it out there, the three temptation of Jesus Christ. As our Lord was tempted three times by Satan, as I was reading the scriptures, if you notice how Christ, the Lord, I should say, which is Christ, how the Lord handled each situation, there would be times in our life that we can use scriptures to help us to get out of any type of situation. Because even within scriptures, God has always given us an avenue of escape to get out of certain situation. But there are times that it is in the plan of God that we go through certain things. And if we stay steadfast in that plan, we will receive an award, a crown of righteousness. Because God is trying to prove us, trying to refine us, trying to make us pure as gold to get us through these certain things. But our Lord has set us up with a blueprint or a footprint on how we should deal with certain type of situations in our lives. And by us using the Bible, the sword, the shield, the sword, the shield, we can count on God to be faithful in everything that he do. His plan is perfect. His will is perfect. So if you are in the will of God, there is always an avenue of escape, but we're going to have to go through those things. For instance, Job went through some things. He did not know why, but we know why. Because Satan desired to tempt Job to curse God. And all the things that he did, I mean, all the things that he had, if it wasn't for one thing from another, Satan did everything he could to get God, for him to curse God. So we have to realize that we always have something that we can lean on when it comes to the Holy Scripture. And then we may not understand the perfect will of God. We may not understand why we're going through certain things. But as I'm being redundant, long as we just stay steadfast in the will of God, he'll get us through that. Take for an example, a good example, Paul. He had a thorn in the flesh. What did the Lord tell him? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So then in our weakest time, which you're going to see tonight, Jesus was at one of his weakest point in humanity at that, okay? Keep that in mind. He was in his human, in his humanity state, because he is part man, part human. So when Paul had the thorn in his side, we don't know what it was. Some people say it could have been an illness. Some people say that it could have been, well, actually, he said it was a messenger from Satan. That's what he said. He said it was a messenger from Satan. So I have to go on the word, but the theologians say that, you know, they say all kinds of things, but in my heart, I believe it was a messenger from Satan trying to hinder him from doing God's work. So you have to look at that when you are in the will of God, when you're doing his work, because you're going to go across obstacles. You're going to have to be able to jump them, just like a running hurdles and stuff. You got to be able to get over it, and then you got to keep on going, you know, because this race is not for the not for the swift. This is a long marathon race that we're running. And something just came to my mind a few minutes ago and I'm getting off the trail right quick, but just stay with me. Stay with me for a minute. When we receive the word of God to help us to get through things, it is a testimony. It is a testimony for all, for friends, family, and whoever is out there that have gone through certain things. You can be a messenger for God and tell them how you got through certain things in your life. Because you're going to be tempted. If Christ was tempted by Satan three times it is recorded in the scriptures, we will be tempted on a daily basis. And also, if you read the scriptures, Mark chapter 1, this same parallel of what we're going through tonight, and Matthew chapter 4, around the first verse, all the way down to the 11th verse, somewhere up in there, they are parallel with each other. Even though Matthew may have given it in a different order of the temptations of what Christ went through, it all means the same. So don't try to fight with someone where Mark said this, Matthew said this, Luke said that. It's all the same. It's God's word. It's the way people receive it. And you can't force anything on anyone. Only thing you can do is just give them the word and let Christ do the rest of the work. My computer's cranking up now. Okay. Come on. There you go. But anyway. Still ain't there. Well, forget it. I'm going to have to do my notes. Ain't nothing but the devil. That's all. But anyway. So in the very first... forget it. In the very first verse of chapter 4, it says that, and Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. You will notice that in Mark and Matthew, they give different terminologies, but they all mean the same. But you also have to go back into Luke, in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, somewhere up in there, where Jesus was baptized by John, and he received the Holy Spirit like a dove coming down upon him. Now, what does that mean? What does that really mean? The Holy Spirit gives us power. And if you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it tells you when Jesus told the disciples, stay where you are. You will receive a helper, the Holy Spirit, that will give you power. I'm paraphrasing. You can look at it if you like. If I'm wrong, then let me know, which I don't think so. But the Holy Spirit will enable him to take on all kinds of temptations, which he is about to go through. But the thing about it, Jesus is man, but he is still Christ. He could use his supernatural powers at any time. But one thing I want you to know, if our Savior uses supernatural powers at that time, which I'm going to call him the second Adam, then he would lose all his powers. We will be back at square one. God's wrath will still be upon us. Now, that's my belief. And I am so grateful for my Lord and Savior that he did not fall up under the temptation of Satan the tempter. Because everything that he said, it is written. He took it straight out of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He took everything out of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6. What it says? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, verse 13, and chapter 10, verse 20. He took the quote straight out of Old Testament Scripture, Deuteronomy, to repel Satan. And if you notice, he never wavered in what he was doing. But you can kind of like sense what he was going through. In verse 1 again, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him out there. He was not alone at any time. God would never leave us alone. He would never leave us or forsake us. If you're walking in the truth, he is there with you at all times. But if you're walking in the darkness, then he's not walking with you. But the thing about it, he's still giving you the opportunity to change your life. Even as an unbeliever, if you're still here today, he's giving you the opportunity. I'm not just saying here in this congregation or whatever. I'm just saying, if you're still here on this earth today, God is working on everyone. He is long-suffering. He don't want anyone to perish. He wants everybody to have eternal life. But if you do not accept his son and continue to fall in the ways of the tempter, then you're just a lost soul, a lost person. But you're still here. But he's giving you the opportunity to turn your life around. So I want you to just think about that for a moment. I want you to just meditate on that for a moment, to realize that God loves us all. Regardless of how we are, he loves us. But we must change, because once that dirt goes on your face, you go under, the book is closed. Your book is over. Your history is written. So this is your time, not only to hear the word, but to also go out and give the word. We have a sign out here. It says that now you're going into your mission field. We're not supposed to just stay here in the house and keep it all in. We're supposed to go out and give the word. That is your mission field. And you know what? As long as I have been here, I picked up on that sign just 2 weeks ago. And I'm saying, oh, where that sign come from? And I had to go out there and read it. I really did. I had to go out there and read it. I'm saying, oh, I'm in my mission field. Okay. But that is one of the better signs that I have seen in the state of Texas. You're going to your mission field. And I'm sorry, I'm getting off on a tantrum. But anyway, the Holy Spirit led him in the desert. He's not alone. And then it goes on to say, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. He did eat nothing. Now, that reminds me of Moses. When God called Moses up to the mountain, when he called Moses up the mountain to give him the Ten Commandments, Moses went up the first time. He stayed 40 days. What's the significance of the 40 days? I have no earthly idea, but evidently God has something with it. When you, some religious, when they fast for 40 days. I can tell you for a truth, for a promise. If you fast 40 days, give up something. Okay, let's say, for instance, whatever you like, give it up completely. I guarantee you, after that 40 days, you have a new feeling. You'll feel like a new person. You have a renewed spirit within you. Your life would just be totally different. You'll see things spiritually instead of physically, because that's what the enemy is trying to get us to do. He's trying to get us to look at things in a physical aspect instead of receiving the thing that spiritually that God has for us. And when we continue to live spiritually, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, we have a tendency to go astray. And that is what God have not intended for us to do. He wants us to worship him and worship him only. And you're going to see when we get on down there. But the 40 days and the 40 nights, think about it. You are in the presence of the Almighty God. You have nothing but to read his word and have him to speak in your ear and be in your mind and be in your heart, be in your whole soul, filled up with the Holy Spirit. And the only thing you're eating is just his word, because it's refreshing. It is filling. I guarantee you, if you try it, you won't go astray. You'll feel him talking to you. You won't even need bread. You won't need anything to eat. You won't need anything to drink, because let me tell you something. When you're in the presence of the Almighty God and when you're fasting for 40 days, you're making a purification of your body. You're doing a spiritual recovery, not a physical. And God is just feeding you with his words, like Moses, like he was feeding Moses. And I'm pretty sure they was talking on a personal level. God was telling him all the things about him, all the glory and all the majesty and everything that he has done for mankind that we don't even know about. Only thing we have is the Holy Bible, and we barely get past Revelation because we don't want to go there. We don't want to see what the end is supposed to be, but let me tell you something. This is not our home, ladies and gentlemen. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. We have a heavenly place that God has prepared for all of us, those who love him. I'm sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent again. But anyway, the 40 days is nothing more than a spiritual cleansing. It helps you to be a better person. It helps you to hear spiritual things. It helps you to see with your spiritual eyes. It helps you to smell spiritual things as well. Now, that's my belief. In verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus replied. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Same thing I was talking about a few minutes ago. We have to have a spiritual cleansing. Food comes and go. But when we have a spiritual nature in us, when we're receiving the word of God, that is what keeps us going. In other words, food doesn't keep us going. We lose faith in God because we think that we're not going to be able to push it. We're not going to be able to eat at that table. Sometimes you have to push away from that table. You have to be in the word. This is our spiritual food, the word of God. This is what keeps us going. God promised that he will always take care of us. He will. As long as we do the things of God. So just remember, physical food, but we have to have a spiritual appetite as well, which is the Word of God. And then it goes on to the other. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. Some authors say that when they say a moment of time, it said that more than likely Christ was more focused on his surrounding in the wilderness. He is at his weakest point of his life. He is in the weakest state of his life because it says that he was hungry. So this is how Satan attacked us. He appeals to the things that are physical. He appealed to us that things that are material, egoism, hedonism, and things like that, because that's what he sees us as. He don't want us to see spiritual things as what God is trying to get us to do. Satan believed that he can give us anything that we want, and we'll be satisfied with it and go on and serve him. But God will let us go on and do what we want to do because he gives us free will. But at the same time, we cannot fall into that trap of falsehood, because he is false. He is the father of all lies. Because sin leads to death. So Satan tried to get us to show him in a moment of time. Christ was just there. So how can he show Christ in the moment of time all the kingdoms of the world? But if you really look at it, Christ was already promised the kingdom from the beginning. So why would he fall for that trap? Think about it. Why would people fall for someone that already have a kingdom and you don't have to do anything to get it? Because the Father has already made him that promise. He's trying to get the Lord to distrust the Father. The Father and the Son are one. They are totally one. They are together. They're not divided like some people are. They are one. He is trying to separate the Son and the Father. That is what he's trying to do in everything that he does. Then it goes on to say, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give to thee, the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will, I give it. When I found, I'm going to tell you something, I almost flipped. Kid you not, I almost flipped. When I found out that Satan was the ruler of this world, I couldn't believe it. I was really upset. Powers and principalities. Oh, that's what they're talking about. Powers and principalities. He is the ruler of this world. But God is in charge. He can't do anything without God's permission. Powers and principalities of this world. Isn't that something? We don't believe it, but he is in charge. Well, he is the ruler of this world. But he's not in charge. But anyway, that's the point that I'm trying to make here. He can't give away anything. He cannot give away anything. What he is doing here is trying to separate the Son and the Father, to have mistrust. I will put my trust in God anytime, because what I have read about the enemy, I call him the enemy. Y'all call him the tempter. Y'all call him Satan. Y'all call him devil. I call him the enemy. He's on a different battlefield than I am. I'm on the battlefield for Christ. But he is trying to tempt Jesus to, what it says here, if thou will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus go on to say, and he used Deuteronomy, verse 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Verse 8, that was verse 8. Deuteronomy 6 and 13. Deuteronomy 6 and 13. You could turn that if you like. And then it goes on. Then it goes on to Deuteronomy 10 and 20. You could turn that if you like as well. But I would like to turn to Matthew 4 and 10, though, for this particular verse. If you would like to turn with me, you can. Scripture is God breathing and inspired. It is the holy word of God. And there's no other word in the world that can satisfy your soul but the word of God. And what it is, it just says the same thing. What I had reminded you of earlier, that Matthew chapter 4 is the same as Luke chapter 4 in their content. The order of it and the temptation are different, because Matthew used the second and third verse, and Luke, and I want to say Matthew reversed the second and third verse, different from Luke. But it says, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou worship. And that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and, what did I say, chapter 6 and 13. Okay, we're going to go on down to the next one, verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, there we go, here we go, if again, cast thyself down from hence. And I'm gonna add this for myself. I'm not gonna go theological on you on this one. He asked him to commit suicide. That's the first thing that came to my mind. And I'm going to tell you a true story. Two stories. It's a true story, and it's two of them. But that's what came to me when I read this. So he's trying to ask him to commit suicide. But the theologian said that he's trying to make a spectacle that way everybody can see Jesus worship Satan. He's trying to make it spectacular. If he throw himself down, if they see him throw himself down because he's there, then everyone would lean on Satan. That's what he's trying to do, give up all his rights to the kingdom, to the world and everything. But anyway, this is just my opinion on this. It's suicide. Plain suicide. True story. Friend of mine. We was driving down to, we was coming back from San Marcos. We had a basketball game that night, and we was driving back. And my friend, I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and my friend looked over, and he knew I was spiritual. He knew I was a minister, and everything. And he said, Cornelius, can I tell you something? I said, sure, man. Come on, let's talk. He said, you see where you're sitting? I said, yeah. He said that Satan was sitting in that same seat and told me to drive off the road and hit the wall. I said, evidently, you didn't do it because we're still driving along here right now. You don't plan on doing it now, do you? But that's how he plays with people's mind. It's suicidal for us to listen to him because we lose more than we gain. We'll lose our life, and he's gone on, okay, I lose them. I got these souls. They're going to hell anyway. So, but anyway, hell is a word, all right? It's not cursing. We may say it. And then here's another one. Someone very dear and close to me, very dear and close to me, said that, Satan told her to kill herself. Now, what words do you think she used? Did she use scripture? No, she didn't use scripture. She rebuked him. She said, no, you kill yourself. Promise you. That's how he operates. And this is a person in the Word of God. This is a person serving the Lord. He do not want the servants of the Lord to serve him. He is trying to take as many as he can with him. And let me tell you something, he's doing a good job today. I kid you not, he's doing a good job. Some of them don't know what they're into. But as the signs say, this is our mission field. We have to let them know. But that's just my opinion, what I just said. This is suicide. But I truly believe that this is suicide because it came to me. It came within my spirit. This is suicide. But theologians said what he's trying to do. He's trying to make something spectacular where Jesus is worshiping him, trying to give up all his glory, where the people would look at him and respect him. But he's not a respecter. He's not to be respected. He's just a demon, a fornicator, adulteress, a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he tried to get us to kill ourselves because we're doing the work of God. Okay, going right on. And then it says, it is written. This is Satan talking. It is written, he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee. Verse 11, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Anyone know what passage that is, where it come from? If I'm correct, it should come from Psalms 91. Psalms 91 and 11. And let's look at that because this is very important. This is something I learned today as well. Not only today, but as I was studying this. Turn to Psalms 91. But I want to say he quoted both 91, verse 11 and 12. Let's see, 91:11. Okay. This is what he quoted. And he probably misquoted it. I guarantee he misquoted it in some kind of way. And you're going to be surprised what I'm going to tell you after this. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Now, this is the song of the Psalms of, it doesn't say who it is. It said, God is a fortress, is a refuge and a fortress. Which he is. But it doesn't say who wrote it. But majority of us believe that David wrote almost all of them anyway. Not all. There's a few in here that was written by others. Okay, verse 11, Psalms 91 and 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy way. Got it? They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, if you read on, this song is talking about Satan. What's going to happen to him? What the Messiah is going to do to him? It says, thou shalt tread upon, listen to what it says, talking about the Messiah. Thou shalt tread upon the lions, the adders, the young lions, and the dragon. Verse 13, and the dragon shall thou trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's what the Messiah is going to do to him. God is going to conquer him in all the things that he does. And moving on. Verse 12, and Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, which is Deuteronomy. He is quoting Deuteronomy 6 and 16. I'm going to try to sum all this up in a closing. Christ did not submit to Satan's appeal in anything that he said or he did. His twisting of words, his offering him of kingdoms, his offering to free his physical body with nutritious bread, asking him to turn, use his supernatural powers to turn a stone into bread. When God and his son already have a perfect plan for his life. And the perfect plan for his life is for him to go to the cross, to be the savior of the world. This is my beloved son. God said, this is my beloved son, who I am well pleased. And if he cannot go in, Christ could not go to the cross with any spot or blemish. He did not have any spots or blemish. He was sin free. He was sin free for us, to save us, to recover us, to redeem us. The kinsman redeemer, our Lord, one and all. So, think about it. If he would have gave up his rights like Adam did, Adam gave Satan his rights, and that's how Satan became the ruler of the world. And that's why we was in the predicament that we was in before Christ came. Let us pray. Most gracious, most heavenly Father, we come to you, dear Lord, again, dear Lord, to close out your true blessings, oh heavenly Father. I thank you, Father, for allowing each and every one of us to be here. I hope some word was said or some word went out, oh Heavenly Father, that maybe we can use to help others to recover from doing the thing that Satan has called them to do. Wickedness will surely die, oh Heavenly Father, but your love and your compassion will last forever. Let your kingdom reign forever and evermore through Christ Jesus, Amen. My computer never came up.